Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now to talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Christ Jesus. The number is 1-800-677-9377. Don't wait. Call right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. On yesterday's broadcast, you two talked about legalism, and I think as you read the Word of God, you see that was the number one problem in the church in the early days, and guess what? It's the number one problem today. If you're looking for a life of freedom and you're not experiencing, I'll bet that the problem is legalism in your life. Mm-hmm. That's what you're going through. That's the barrier. That's the obstacle. So how do you let go of legalism and grab hold of the grace of God? So we want to talk about that more on today's broadcast. Like I said, no matter where you are in life, this is an issue for you. I mean, somebody that's been in the grace of God for 50 years, they're still looking at the grace of God and looking at the legalism in their life, and it's subtle and that sort of thing, but it's there. It's just the human tendency to drift toward law. I mean, it's just what we do, and so we have to constantly be reminded about the grace of God. We have to constantly be reminded of what Christ has done for us, retell that story time and time again, and as we do, we can see the legalism and see what it is. And so how would you define legalism, Richard?
Legalism to me is any time my relationship with God turns from faith-based, with my eyes fixed on Jesus, to behavior-based. Maybe the negative way to say it is very few people who are suffering from legalism ever say, I should have trusted Jesus more. What they say is, I should have done this better, or I should not have done that. As soon as the I should is said, you know that you're looking at a behavioral approach to your relationship with Jesus. It doesn't have to be that you're under the law. We make our own laws up. And so when we turn to behaviorism, when we say, I need to do this or I need to do that, instead of letting Jesus do something through me, then we're in danger of legalism. Yeah.
If I pray more, then God will love me more. If I read the Bible more, then God will love me more. If I go to church and give my money, then God will bless me more financially. All of those sort of things. Same thing. Somebody, you know, will think, you know, here's this person that's sick, and you know, I've prayed for them. I've given my money. I've helped others, and so that's going to obligate God to heal this person because I've done all these other things. Well, that's a legalistic approach to that particular problem. And it's subtle, like I said, but it's there. It's there. That's why we need the grace of God. So if you have legalistic issues that you want to talk about on today's program, go ahead and call, get in line, 1-800-677-9377. Let's go to Edgewater, New Jersey, and talk to Marie, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Marie.
Hi. I just sort of quit your program. I'm a believer since I'm 21 years old, and I'm in my 50s now. And I had a big issue with believing I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Had a problem with my daughter at the time, and I was going to church, and I was trying to get a closer relationship with the Lord, and in doing so, I kind of befriended a Christian couple, and they were very deep in the Lord, and I felt that they were deeper than me, and that they knew more than me, and I kind of, you know, I don't know, I didn't take my eyes off of Jesus, but I kind of was being like, oh, I wonder what they think about this, and I wonder what they think about that, And I got to the point where one day they were praying for me. I believe they're people of God. I believe they are. They were people. They were, and they still are people of the Lord. But you know, believers and saved and all that. But at one point in this relationship I had with them, they were praying for me to receive in speaking in tongues, because that was a little bit what I was kind of, you know, asking them to do. And then when I had a problem with my daughter claiming that she was a lesbian. And it devastated me, to the point where I was seeking. And then to get deeper into the Lord, and I was saying, God, you know, I was so devastated about it that one day I said in my kitchen, I said, man, I said, I'm not trusting you, Lord. I'm not trusting you. You're the God that parted the seas, that turned the water into wine. And I went totally, you know.
So are you worried that that was a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit?
No, because I had a vision. I had a vision. It's a lot, you know, maybe to tell on the program. I understand your time is limited, but I had a vision happen to me, and in the vision, I saw all my sins, and I had an actual vision where it was like a film.
Well, Marie, do you have a question on this?
Yeah. When I had this vision, I saw the sins, and I just said, I didn't have the repentant heart that I did when I was like in my 20s. Like it was just fear flooded me, like a fear. And I didn't feel that I accepted.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I accepted the Spirit of God somehow. And then I just said, I'm not even sorry for these sins. Like I didn't even feel. But I was fearful, too. And I felt that that was maybe a time. Is there a certain time? This is my question. Is there a certain, because I've asked for forgiveness for many times, heartfelt, and asked for forgiveness. But what I'm saying is there a particular time in your life that the Spirit comes and then you have to make the choice and that's your time?
Well, Marie, as long as we're alive, the offer of salvation is on the table. Jesus wants to give us new life. And so whatever that day you hear it, that becomes your today. Today, if you hear his voice, receive him. Now, whether you were born again at age 21, that seems to be your testimony. If that's the case, you receive new life at that point in time. You were born again. Maybe you're wondering if that's really the case. Maybe you're struggling with assurance of salvation and trying to rethink and say, have I really come to faith in Jesus Christ? Did I just go through the motions back then? Did I just say a prayer or any of that sort of stuff? And if so, I want to make it real today. Maybe you're going through that. A lot of people do that. I mean, there's lots of folks that have walked an aisle, have said a prayer, but they know in their heart they really didn't believe. They may have been doing it to get somebody off their back. I've heard so many people say, yeah, there was this person that kept nagging me. And so finally, just to get them to shut up, I walked the aisle. Didn't mean it. Didn't really, you know, desire that, but that's what I did. Bob Davis is over here raising his hand, saying, "That's me."
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you have to say, you know, was I really saved back then? I don't know, but I want to make it sure today. And if that's the case, Marie, we would love to help you in that regard, to help you drive the stake and say, today is the day that I know for sure that I've been made alive in Christ. Is that something that you would like to do?
Well, praise God. I will take the offer, but I've done it many times before, but I definitely will.
Well, and I did too, Marie. I prayed to receive Christ probably 500 times in my life.
And I did more.
Okay. And then finally there was a day where I said, today is it. And I really, there was this sincere trust in my heart because I responded to what Christ offered. And I read a passage in the book of Colossians that just flipped the switch for me. I mean, light bulbs went on. And here's what that passage said. It's in chapter 2. It says this, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to it. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And right then and there, I understood that salvation is life, that Jesus Christ came to give me life. And that made sense because I knew something was missing inside. I knew something was wrong with me. It wasn't just the sins that I was doing. There was something on the inside. There was something lacking. And what was lacking was life, the very life of Christ. And so when I read that passage or when I heard that passage read at a Bible study, my heart leaped and I responded and said, Lord, I want to be made alive. Thank you for forgiving me all of my sins, not just some of them, but all of them. Now come and live inside of me and make me into a new creature in Christ. And things changed for me. My whole life changed at that moment in time because I saw the gospel message for what it really was. It wasn't just a golden ticket into heaven someday. It was about life here and now and the opportunity for me to really know Jesus Christ and to grow in that relationship. And so, Marie, maybe today this passage has helped a switch go on in your understanding. And if that's the case, then I'd say receive the Lord today.
Praise God, yes.
Okay. So, Marie, let me just ask you a couple of questions. Do you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead?
Yes, I do.
And do you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord?
Yes, he is.
Well, based on that confession, that belief, the Word of God says that you have eternal life. Now, praise you want to just solidify that in a word of prayer?
Sure.
If you'll just follow along with me, and prayer doesn't save, Jesus saves. But prayer is a wonderful way to express the faith that God has placed in your heart. So if you'll just follow after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving all of my sins.
Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving all of my sins.
Thank you for dying in my place.
Thank you for dying in my place.
So that I could be made alive.
So that I could be made alive.
I now receive you into my heart.
I now receive you into my heart.
As my Lord and my Savior.
As my Lord and my Savior.
And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Marie, what I'm going to ask you to do, we're going to send you some information, but what I'm going to ask you to do, Marie, is this. I want you to get your Bible, and I want you to open up the front cover of that Bible, and I want you to put today's date on the inside cover of your Bible, okay? And then underneath the date, just put the day I received Jesus once and for all. Will you do that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, tomorrow or a week from now, you may feel compelled, I need to receive him again. I want you to go back and say, no, I'm alive. I'm going to rest in what happened to me on July 25th, 2013. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. Will you do that?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So count on it. Like I said, There was a point in my life where I drove the stake, and I said, "That's when I knew for sure."
Praise
and
God.
We're just praying the same for you.
I was listening, believe it or not, to Hank Hanegraaff, and I had called him in one time, and he just said something that threw me, and I said, "I don't know if I trust that." So I mean, I just got upset with like me saying, "What am I trusting?" You know. I don't know. I believe that I am saved, and I thank you for the prayer. God bless you, and I know that your work, you know, is going forward. And I just, you know, I wanted to share that, you know, with me and with you, and you know, I guess to your audience. In fact, I'm not even hearing this because I'm in the Jersey. I'm in the East Coast.
Well, Marie, we're glad you called today. Let me put you on hold. This is a special thing when we have this opportunity, and I know there's others out there, maybe that were listening, and if they prayed along with you, we encourage you to write to us, or call us to let us know, but let me put you on hold, Marie. We'll get your information. We will send you some resources that I think will be very helpful, to, you know, give you understanding of what has taken place, what salvation really is. And then let's stay in touch, okay?
Sure. Thank you so much.
Okay, Marie, you hang on.
One of the wonderful reasons that Basic Gospel is on the air every day to meet our listeners at their point of need.
Absolutely. And it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. You know, legalism takes away our assurance because you never can do enough. Mm-hmm. You never can be pleasing enough. You never can, there's always this idea of regret. I needed to do more. I needed to give more. I needed to pray more. I needed to share Christ more. I needed to be kinder. I needed to be this or have, you know, there's all sorts of things that we pile on top of us, of things that we should have been doing. But that's a legalistic response. At some point, we have to come to this place of rest, where we say, you know, I could have done everything in my power and it still would have not been enough. But what Christ did was enough. And I'm resting in his finished work once and for all. That's when the switch goes on. That's when the lights are turned on. That's when this salvation becomes dynamic and you really start to experience what Christ has called you to. And that's a life of freedom in him.
Absolutely. Well, time remaining on the clock and open lines for you, 1-800-677-9377. Call quickly, and we'd love to address your question or your particular situation on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. Friends, we're less than a week away from the end of our offer for the new series and study guide, Gateway to Grace, yours in July for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request yours, simply go online to basicgospel.net or call during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828 for your copy of Gateway to Grace. Guys, a question from David in High River, Alberta, kind of a pointed question, says, to be a backslider, you need to be born again, a born-again Christian who is willfully sinning. According to Scripture, you cannot enter the kingdom of God if you are a backslider. Also, according to Scripture, you are putting Christ to open shame and are crucifying him anew if you continue in your sin after being converted. Please explain to me how you can perpetuate the once saved, always saved doctrine if the above is true.
Well, that's the big question. If the above is true, I don't think any of it's biblical. I mean, I think there's only one place in the Word of God where the term backslider is used,
right?
And it's certainly not in the New Testament. It's an Old Testament passage. In the Word of God, once you're saved, you're saved. That's just the way it is. And we keep harping on this time and time again. Salvation is not forgiveness of sins. It's not this deal that's just been added to our account. Salvation is receiving life. It is going from death to life. And once you've been made alive in Christ, you're alive forever. The cross of Jesus guarantees it. Why? Because the cross took away what killed us, and that was sin. Jesus took away our sins, not just some of them, but all of them. And so we are made alive in Christ, and then we receive the Spirit. God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us, and that all happens at that moment of salvation. So Jesus began a work in us, and he is going to continue a work in us, and he's promised to complete it. So if he's promised to complete it, then we can rest in that fact. He's going to complete it. Are we going to maybe turn away, as we journey down this new path with Christ? Yes, there's going to be times that we turn off the path. As you say, Richard, we're going to get caught up in the weeds.
Yeah.
But Jesus is right there with us, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's right there. And by his Spirit, he starts renewing our minds, giving us truth, bringing us right back to where we need to be, and he keeps the process going. I've said time and time again that the Holy Spirit's work is much like a GPS unit. So you put in a destination, you start down, you hear this voice, and, you know, half a mile, turn right, and you start listening to music, and, you know, you're not really thinking, and all of a sudden, you hear the GPS unit say, recalibrating. You've missed your turn. But the GPS doesn't berate you for that. It doesn't condemn you. It just knows how to get you back on track. Certainly God's Spirit can do the same.
Yeah.
Certainly God knows the way to get us back, regardless of how far off path we've gotten. God's Spirit is not detracted. That doesn't change his purpose in our life. He's going to continue to complete the work. He's going to move us back on track. He's going to use those things to teach us and equip us how to trust him when those types of temptations and opportunities, worldly opportunities, come our way again. There's nothing to fear. So we have to understand that once we're saved, we're saved. Those passages that he mentioned, Hebrews 6, you know, publicly crucifying the Son of God over again, that's not a passage to believers. That's a passage to lost folks.
Right.
That's a passage to folks that had heard, who had seen the goodness of God in the lives of others. They were keeping an arm's distance from the gospel, and finally they came to a point and said, no, I don't want Jesus. I want to go back to my old sacrificial system. I want to continue offering the blood of bulls and goats. I want to continue doing this ritual and that ritual because that's what defines me as a person, and that's what's going to get me into heaven one day. Mm-hmm. And that is like publicly crucifying the Son of God over again, the rejection of Christ. So that's a passage not to the saved, but to the lost.
Yeah.
If you're saved, folks, you're saved. Let God's Spirit give you assurance of that. And that's one of his jobs, to confirm to our spirits that we are indeed children of God. That's the most important task that he has. And for some of us, it takes a while.
Yes.
But eventually that message gets through and we rest in that truth. And then God's Spirit keeps completing the work.
Absolutely.
That's the good news of this gospel.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more, Bob. Thank you for that. And thanks to our listeners who have been a part of this particular broadcast of Basic Gospel, and to Richard Piper. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition. In the meantime, friends, Basic Gospel is funded only by you, our listeners. And in more ways than one, you are the reason this program is on the air live every day. Time is running close for you to request your CD Bible study series, Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount. And 6 messages, of course, to help you see the truth about many of our traditionally held religious beliefs and show you the truth about the way that they affect our lives every day. And we've heard some of that on today's broadcast and usually on each broadcast. To complete your gift and request your copy, visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Again, that's toll-free, 1-800-727-2828. Billy will be glad to hear from you and speak with you during Central Time office hours and fulfill your request for Gateway to Grace. Also, you know, social media is a very popular part of life today, and we think it would be a very good thing if you would like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, at BasicGospelRDO. Again, that's BasicGospelRDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.